And welcome to the End Time Shofar, End Time Bible Prophecy Podcast. This podcast will be dealing with Episcopal Bishop Demonic Vision of a New World Religion, or One World Religion. We know that the Bible talks about a formulation of a one world government, a one world economic system, and a one world religious system, which we see fastly forming in both aspects of one world economic system and a one world government system. But we want to focus on the one world religious system that's fast and approaching. We can see examples of Word of Faith preacher Kenneth Copeland, his relationship with Pope Francis, several other people that are quite popular leaders within the Christian church here in America have been connected with Pope Francis. And we see organizations like the New Apostolic Reformation have been connected with the Roman Catholic Church. And we see people connecting with the Church of Unification, or the Unification Church, the Moonies, such as Paula White spoke at one of their conferences, and then also too, we've seen most recently former President Donald Trump was at one of their events and was a keynote speaker. But we want to go ahead and go into the scriptures, and seeing that you have a lot of lukewarm Christians or apostate Christians that are pushing towards interfaith or ecumenical movement, connecting with other faiths. And we just want to see what the Word of God has to say. Number one, let's look at the scripture in Revelation, because it talks about Mystery Babylon being the harlot system, a harlot religious system. Verse 1 of Revelation chapter 17, it says, "There came one of the seven angels, which had seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, and I'll show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sit upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations, filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth." So we can go all the way back to Genesis chapter 11 with the Tower of Babel. The backdrop of that story was that Nimrod was a one world government leader, a dictator who subjected all the people up on earth to formulate that one world government. They formulated a one world economic system at that particular time, and a pagan occultic religious system under his wife Semiramis, which Mystery Babylon, once the people were dispersed, you had several different people that moved to different regions due to the fact that their languages were confounded, but they kept the mystery religious system in place, calling these different gods Baal and other different names, Dagon, depending on what part of the planet you were in. They carried this occultic pagan religious system on, where the hierarchy knew who they were actually worshiping. And in all actuality, they were worshiping Satan, the higher level that you go up. So we see that in the book of Revelation, where eventually the beast will turn against this harlot system and destroy it. But he'll use it as a means to deceive people and to worshiping the dragon in the formulation of this one world religion, and departing from biblical truth. Those people that once believed that Jesus was Lord of Lord, King of Kings, will depart and will be begin to formulate doctrines of devils, which Paul writes to Timothy. I want to go to the next scripture because you see so many people that are formulating ecumenical movement and interfaith movement, which goes against scripture. When we look at John 14, verse 5 through 7, it says, Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And if he or ye had known me, and ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Let's go to Acts chapter 4, verse 10 through 12. It says, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom raised from the dead, even by doeth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of the builders, which become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. It's the only way. He's the only passage or only path to salvation, to be saved, to heaven. It's not multiple paths. It's not multiple different religions. So we want to look at the Episcopal Church has a long running history of heading down a fast road of apostasy, embracing homosexuality, abortion, witchcraft, and just basically departing from biblical scriptures. Again, just a long, long history of that. You can go even back in the 1960s, Bishop Pike, which was a prominent bishop. He was prominent in the civil rights movement and all, but this man had departed from biblical truth. He had a son that overdosed on drugs, and it was troubled that his son died. And eventually he reached out to a famous psychic to get in contact with his dad's son. This happened on national TV, and eventually he started to embrace the occult and other things and all, and lying, deceiving spirits, which led to his death. Him and his wife were in Israel. They were led out to a desert and by the spirit, and eventually he died in his sins because he incorporated the occult and he departed from biblical truth. So the main ringleader or leader of this United Religious Initiative or Religions Initiative is Bishop William Pike. So primarily what he's trying to form is in regards to this United Religions Initiative is a United Nations for religions to formulate a one world religion. I want to read actually a letter that was from the fall of 1996, and it's from the United Religions Initiative. It says, brothers and sisters, you are invited to join the United Religions Initiative to help change the world. This initiative seeks to bring religions and spiritual traditions to a common table, a permanent daily global assembly. There, respecting each other's distinctiveness, they will seek to make peace among religions so they might work together for the good of all life and healing of the earth. Already building on 100 years of interfaith effort, people of many faiths from many parts of the world have committed themselves to make the UR vision a reality. We share one, a deep concern for global crises such as war, poverty, the destruction of the environment, that threaten the life of this planet, to the belief that by gathering in prayerful dialogue on a daily basis and becoming a unified voice for values and global ethic, the world's faith traditions can be healing the force in regards to these problems. Three, a passion to pray and work for the day when the world religions gather to work for peace and global ethics and justice. Four, a commitment to live as a member of the United Religions, building bridges of interfaith understanding, the in cooperation and locally, or corporation locally and globally. Success requires the participation of the leaders of the world's historic religions, the newer spiritual movements. It requires the hearts and minds of the world's youth. It requires participation of grassroots people all over the world. It requires your help. This brochure contains more information about the initiative and suggests five commitments to make this vision a reality. And this is signed by Bishop William E. Swing, Juliet Hollister, and Dr. Robert Mueller, Chancellor of the United Peace University, back in 1996. So let's examine who is William Swing. William Swing is a retired bishop of the Episcopal Diocese here in California. He was consecrated as a bishop back in September of 1979. He primarily worked in the San Francisco area, helping with people who had HIV and AIDS and advocating for the elimination of homelessness in San Francisco, which are good deeds, but is it biblically lined up? Back in 1996, he traveled to several different countries, such as China, Japan, South Korea, India, and the Middle East and Europe, seeking guidance, commitment from leaders of many of the world's religions. The religious leaders that he met was the Dalai Lama, Mother Teresa, the Islam's Grand Mufti of Egypt, and Archbishop of Canterbury. So this, he got this vision in his mind to formulate this one world religion. Also too, we want to look at that Swing, he holds negative views on true Christian beliefs, and he holds a more ecumenical type belief, and he's very hostile against true Judeo-Christianity. I want to go ahead and let's listen to a clip from his own mouth and what he has to say about this movement.
Here we are in Mayapur, India, at the end of the second global assembly of the United Religions Initiative. And one of the questions that would obviously come up would be, what happened? What did it mean? What it meant for me was just hearing small sentences from people. For instance, a lady in Africa said, "I'm the only person in my cooperation circle who can read or write. That all the women in my cooperation circle love the United Religions Initiative because it gives them a voice to the world. In their little village, they would never be heard by anybody. But because they belong to a grassroots interfaith organization that's global in its reach, they have a voice." Some of our people went to the local Roman Catholic Cathedral the other day on Sunday morning, and the priest there preached on the principles of the United Religions Initiative. That's just amazing. I was in a Hindu temple the other day, and a little child was trying to learn to walk and was falling into everybody sitting on the floor, and so happy and so well cared for. And somebody walked by and said, "Our cooperation circle took that child off the street at age 3 days. The child had been abandoned. And so we took the child in and gave it a mother with other children from the streets. And that's what we do. We take care of children that nobody wants, but we want them." To see how we're growing in Pakistan, to see how we're growing in India, to see how we're growing in southern India, especially in Africa. It's really amazing. All over Europe, it grows. You have to have at least seven people to have a cooperation circle to start. We have a cooperation circle in Belgium now that has 200,000 people in it. We only started 8 years ago, and now we're the number one largest grassroots interfaith organization in the world. And it's growing like a weed. And one of the great things that will come out of this particular assembly is that people are going to be energized and inspirited to go out into the world and create more cooperation circles and bring more people into the family and give them a voice also. The great thing about URI is that you can be local and you can be global at the same time. And the nice thing about having a global assembly is that you get to see everybody all at once. And you see, oh yeah, I'm not alone. I'm with a whole lot of people, and we're doing very important work. When it gets to religiously motivated violence in the world, who's going to do something about it? For instance, I'm an American, and when the airplanes went into the World Trade Centers, that was the first time in 200-plus years history of the United States that religiously motivated violence had ever come to our shore. And we were shocked, and the question is, who's going to do something about that? Who's going to do something about religiously motivated violence in our country? The government can do a little, but it can't do what needs to be done. Religions can do a lot, but religions are very suspicious of interfaith. So what has to happen is that you got to have somebody in the middle that's sensitive to religion, that's cooperative with the governments, but is a neutral third party that can help adjudicate, help get people together, and help bring people who were hurt by conflicts, to bring them back into their villages and towns and cities, and help make the reconciliation happen.
So very interesting, from his own words, from Bishop William Swing. Let's look at what is the United Religious Initiative, the backbone behind it. Before we get into that, this organization is supported by the United Nations, but it's supported by people from different walks of life, very high level people, people that are in high places, supports the United Religious Initiative. Our Religions Initiative, former president, now deceased George H.W. Bush, is friends with Bishop Swing, a big supporter of formulating a united religious group or one world religion. Billionaire George Soros, Bishop Desmond Tutu, Lucius Trust, which was formerly known as Lucifer Trust, founded under Alice Bailey, which Lucius Trust has quite a bit of inroads with United Nations and with the United Nations spirituality, which is rooted in Luciferianism. Former president of the Soviet Union, Mikhail Gorbachev, is a big supporter of this organization. The United Religious Initiative is an interfaith organization that's modeled like the United Nations for religion. It helps in religious motivated religions and aid peace on earth. In March of 2001, the URI became official non-governmental organization, NGO, affiliated with the United Nations. Swing's original vision for the URI began in 1993. And when he was invited to the UN to host an interfaith service honoring the 50th anniversary of the signing of the UN Charter, the Religions Initiative involves following groups: Christians, Islam, Judaism, Buddhists, Hinduism, Taoism, Shamanism, New Age, Mormonism, Wicca, and witchcraft. All of these religions are united for the sole purpose of bringing false peace and a false one world government. I'm gonna stop right there. Some of the groups, Reverend Sun Myung Moon had signed up to be part of the United Religions Initiative, the Moonies, the Church of Unification, or the Unification Church. The Mormons are in on this. So you have certain key religious groups on there. Interesting enough, one of the key members that was involved with the early stages of the URI was the Covenant of the Goddess, which was the world's largest organization for witches. The COG members helped write the URI charter, which states, "We the people of diverse religions and spiritual expressions and indigenous traditions throughout the world hereby establish the United Religions Initiative to promote enduring daily interfaith cooperation and to create a culture of peace and justice for healing for the earth for all living beings. The URI has brought the COG, which is neo-pagans, into the mainstream of the cultures and made it acceptable. Other neo-pagan groups that support the URI are as follows: the Covenant of the Stone and the Mirror, the Goddess of the Holding, and the World Mural Project, the Hippo Haven Wiccan Community, the Pagan Educational Network, the Pagan Sanctuary Network, the Serpent Stone Coven to North Carolina. So it's connected to having these witch coven groups that are all incorporated, not just your traditional religions of Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, and you have Buddhism and also to Hinduism, but they incorporated the witches also too. There's a lot of stuff that's going on. So we see the URI is supported by a variety of different religions, political groups, and they have one vision, which is a very demonic division of a one world religion to bring about false peace. You heard him talking about that. Jesus Christ is the only one that can bring ultimate peace upon this earth. So we already stated that Swing, he supports all these false religions, but he supports and he endorses the occult. One of the members, or one of the top members of the URI, which is part of the URI Global Council, is Donald Frew. He's a high priest of the Guardian Coven in Berkeley, California, which is a traditional interfaith representative of the Covenant of the Goddess. Frew discussed interfaith gathering with Bishop Swing, which he states this: "A highlight for me was being asked to perform a traditional Wiccan foundation blessing in a closing ceremony, especially invoke Hecate and Hermes by name." And Hermes by name, the Episcopal bishop, which is Bishop Swing, was right there raising his arms in the invocation with the rest of the circle. "We have come a long way." So this is just a prime example that just shows that Swing has totally abandoned the scriptures, that he embraces the Wiccan foundational blessings. He's loudly apostate. He is a son of Belial. He's a son of darkness, which the Qumran, the Dead Sea Scrolls talk about that in the last days. It talks about a battle between the sons of light, the sons of righteousness, and the sons of darkness. He's an idolater. When you look at not just somebody that's just worshiping idols, a person that departs from biblical truth and promotes lies and deceit and twist God's word is actual idolater. This also lines up, which I mentioned earlier, with Bishop James Pike during the 1960s after his son James Pike Jr. had committed suicide, participated in a cultic seance. So it's just a connection, just showing that the Episcopal Church has promoted and connected themselves with the occult. So the bottom line is Swing travels to different parts of the world to lead this apostasy, to lead this demonic vision for a one world church and a false peace, which will give rise to the Antichrist. And without doubt, is fulfilling Bible prophecy. When we look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, it says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Now the Spirit speaking expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." So we see that Bishop William Swing has departed from the faith. He's been given over to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils when you start to incorporate all this apostate beliefs and thinking that you can bring peace by bringing together all the world religions without being Christ-centered and Jesus Christ being the foundation. Bottom line is, when Jesus comes back, every tongue, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord of lords, King of kings. God bless. Stay spiritually woke. We are definitely living in the last days. We're seeing fast and forming of things that are coming to pass in the scriptures, and it's moving at such a great speed that we have to be aware of these things. Be praying for you as you pray for me, and bless everyone.